afternoon. It is not an afternoon. Thank you very much for coming. I don't like to start the meeting by excuses. The profession I belong to doesn't allow. We are at the level of exhaust, as far as I remember. We started this process, and I must still appreciate the commitment that Honorable Fanglingen did show to the process. Yeah, I appreciate it very much. And there were times, sometimes, Noyana, it would be herself and myself. And we pushed on. We have produced a draft. What we need to do today is to fine-tune. The draft must just be fine-tuned so that then the Rules Committee of the National Council of Provinces can begin to look at our draft and take the process forward. I also would like to appreciate the role of the political parties, opposition parties in particular. The EFF and the DA did do their homework. I'm trying to recap, Nunyana, so that we must know where the process is. The DA and the EFF did do their homework. See how he's looking at me. He says, I'm practicing apartheid. Exactly, look, he's saying that. But we give praise where praise is due. They did their homework. They made their submissions. I passed the submissions on to the technocrats for incorporation into the rules. So part of our homework today here, or maybe my wish is, for those parties that did make their submissions, make sure they've been well captured. Now, what is this exercise about? As our institution is evolving, we hope that these rules will enable the NCOP to become the house that the Constitution intended it to be, the upper house. We hope. We hope God will give us that wisdom and the ability to make sure that this house becomes the ideal which Constitution had in mind. Now, having said all this, I would like to allow maybe Nunyana to submit. I see a different hand. I can almost guess what he's going to say to me, but over to you.
Thank you, Chief Whip. I appreciate the opportunity. Chief Whip, I would just like to hear from you and get clarity. I believe we are going to have another meeting a bit later this month. Now, I also believe that we agree that these rules, for us to become the house that we intended to be, it must be the best version that we can have. Would it be possible, and I would like to also thank the technocrats, as you say, for including some of our proposals, but if we come across some more proposals as we go along, can we, well, I'm not here in the meeting, but can we submit further written suggestions as we go along before the next meeting? Would that be possible?
I really would appreciate it very, very much. In my life, I wrote, is it a thesis or a dissertation for my master's? I also wrote one for my PhD. The more you fine-tune, the better a document it becomes. So I end, may I plead, then after you've seen whatever you come and educate me in my office so that I come to me and be very clever. Will you do that?
We're indebted to you. Thank you.
Okay. No, thanks very much. Nonyana here says I must follow the rules of meetings. We have an agenda before us. And the members of this committee from the ruling party will join us shortly, but I wanted us to start on time. They'll find us grappling with the issues. Honorable Thobejani is here, I am here, so together. We said NCOP is not a party political matter. It is about our responsibility as the NCOP. Honorable Gaylesa.
Chairperson, are you saying that if we want to add or must come and see you or omit, is that what you're thinking, Honorable Chairperson?
What I am saying, whether you add or you subtract, here, we do as much as we possibly can here. Anything between today and the next meeting, that I thought I had responded to that. Any brainwaves which any particular organization will have between this meeting and the next, I am saying, assist me, feel free to get your brainwaves if you can. Come, walk me through those so that when I come over here, I'm able to read from the front. Okay.
Thank you.
He's not done yet. Are you done, Honorable? No, that's why we are here. No, don't take the floor as yet. We're going to come procedurally there. Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether the meeting has started or we are just brainstorming, waiting for the ruling party, because now
I
like
didn't say we wait for anybody.
Okay, so the meeting has started.
I'm saying he has said to me many
let's start on the agenda.
Formally, yes. So I was coming to say we do have an agenda. Now let's look at the agenda. And if members are happy with the agenda, and then I will see hands proposing adoption, other hands will second. We have the agenda in front of us. But I always need, I do need, I don't want to say this in German, somebody who will do the running around. I'm not quite complete around here. Honorable Mokwili?
Thank you, Chair. Before we officially started the meeting, there was a proposal that we should do submissions to the relevant office in terms of what we think can be included in the in our rules. But now, as I'm looking into the agenda itself, it says consideration of draft guidelines on petition, consideration of draft and consideration of amendments to SOP rules. Now, if we consider the rules and whatever that we are going to be considered, will this allow us time to also submit our input into the rules? Because as I was going through the rules themselves, my whatever that we suggested as the economic freedom fighters were not captured. So I don't know whether we should continue submitting and then our submissions will be like ignored or something. Thank you, Chair.
I just want to give the reassurance up front. Maybe Nonyama, you should assist me who represented her organization last time. Or will you? Okay. There is no members. I would like let us relax. This exercise is to benefit our country and our people. That's our departure point. Whatever we do here must benefit our country and our people. That's our responsibility. And it must enhance the dignity of the house. So feel free let us not maybe aim for quantity. I would really urge members, let us our modus operandi be quality. Let's do quality roles. For those parliaments that will be here after us, etc., they must be able to salute us when they use the rules that we will have put in place for the country and for the people. So I get hence proposing that we adopt the agenda. Do I get him? Honorable Taylor? He proposes any seconder? Honorable Lafsafne is seconding. Thank you very, very much, honorable members. The agenda is adopted. And can I take minutes as read? Might I take minutes as read? Oh, Mazai, I'm not used to leading a passive meeting. It becomes very difficult for me because I always like to take my audience with me. If there is passiveness, then it means I'm not communicating, I'm not connecting with the audience. Yes, there is a one page up here. Maybe 5 minutes for us to read through. It's a one page here. Yes, I can see. It's a two page. Okay. Page one. Is page one in order? Hoji, do you have the record? Given that I'm cannibalizing you. Do members have the documents? Do you have the agenda? Do you have the minutes? Goodness. Which office was you being prepared? No. You must know you're working with the receptionist.
Chief Whip, in fact, apologies. All members with related documents with them related to this meeting. We apologize to Koshi because of, I think he came there to attend, but when he arrived, we didn't give out the documents, but we have copies and related courses.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I stood in at that meeting on behalf of Honorable von Lingen, if you remember correctly, and I've read the minutes, and I move that we adopt the minutes as they are.
As a proper reflection of what happened. Do I get a seconder? Honorable is seconding, but I don't see you here, madam. Yes, you are here, my dear, you are here. Thank you very, very much. Zama, I'd like you here. Okay, our minutes are adopted. Anything do we have arising? Item number 5. Arising from the minutes, let's look at page 1. Page 1. Anything arising on page 1? Going, and gone. Can we go to page 2? Arising on page 2. Honorable Nikilaki? 1 or 2 minutes. Agreed? Okay. 1, 2. Honorable McAleese?
Chairperson. Chairperson, just on 7.1. Yes. That is where we agreed that the parties can make submissions. As you will remember, we said it would be for the sake of time, and I think it worked very well. But what I would suggest, just arising from that, is that on the submissions that we have sent through, some of them have been taken into account, some of them have not. We must just perhaps, and we're going to need your guidance in that regard, is that it can just be communicated with the parties as to why certain things were not included. There might be a very good reason for that. I believe if there's a good reason for it, the parties will most probably not even want to discuss it because we will accept the good reason. But I think on certain instances where we do not agree with leaving certain things out, that the committee must engage on those specific matters. So I would just perhaps request as a starting point that we ask the persons responsible for the drafting and for tweaking that they submit to us the reasons why certain things were not included, and then perhaps at a future date that we just engage on those items that we still feel strongly that it must be included. There's quite a few of them where I would be more than willing to accept the good reason. But there are going to be one or two that we would perhaps like to engage, and I think that should be put on the agenda for perhaps the next meeting once we have the reasons why the support is of opinion that they should not be included against the recommendations of the party, if you understand.
Honourable Member, I would like to assist to the meeting. We can in one big jump do everything. Is it possible? I have heard, let's not aim for quantity, let's go for quality. And again, may I request members, let us follow our agenda. When time that item fails, then we will see how best to accommodate your submission.
Chairperson, I understand what you're saying. With respect, we are at matters arising, so it speaks to the minutes that matter was raised. I don't think that we should spend a lot of time on it, but it is part of matters arising, which is according to the agenda, the point we are on. So just on 7.1 of the previous minutes, it can just be noted that we would just like some feedback in that regard. I think it's going to save us a lot of time.
You are noted, your input is noted, Honorable. I see another hand here.
Yes, on 7.1.
Please assist, take us forward. That one is noted.
7.1.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are five parties in the NCP, and we have never been informed that we must make submissions. I don't have anything or email or any other, so I therefore request that we are given an opportunity, the UTM and the IAP, to make our submissions. We are given that opportunity. It is our right to have that opportunity.
Yeah.
We have never been informed. Thank you.
I don't want to have a one-to-one debate, but members who were there will remember it was decided in a meeting. Did you attend all the meetings? Or you were not informed about the meeting? Who invited for this meeting? We'll come to that, but I want us to be on the same page about logistics. Why do some members get invited and others don't get invited? Members of the Rules Committee. I just want to be clarified on that. There is an answer coming from the advocate.
Honorable members, and thank you, Sophie. This subcommittee is the subcommittee of the Rules Committee, and it makes recommendations to the Rules Committee. So the rules committee determines the membership of this subcommittee, which it did. And in terms of the determination of the rules committee, the members that we have as members of the subcommittee were the chief whip, the house chairperson committees, Honorable Nambi, the programming whip, Honorable Pakis, Honorable Mukwele, as well as the Honorable Van Lingen. I'm informed that Honorable Labuschagne has replaced Honorable Van Lingen. So those were the members of the subcommittee, and the invitations accordingly went to the members of the subcommittee. Thank you.
And maybe our advocate just to be extra elegant. Maybe we should say according to rule. There's a rule that establishes the subcommittee. And we have a rule. There is a rule in the rule book, but that's not a change measure. I assume the Honorable understands now. They understand. Koshi?
Thanks, Chief Whip. I thought the point raised by the Honorable Member here, the best way to address is to say, even when the subcommittee has been determining the manner it is, when there is a submission to be or submitted, you should then extend it to those who are not sitting in it, so that the views get kept in whatever you're producing.
Okay. I don't like defending myself unnecessarily, but I thought, yes,
deviating from the agenda that we have just adopted. We are now dealing with matters arising from the previous minutes. Let's deal with the matters arising from the previous minutes. If there's a need of us clarifying the composition of the subcommittee, we'll then deal with that. Because there was an proposal from Honorable Michalakas that we be given chance to extension to further do the submissions, and then we allow the table there to give us the reasons why our inputs were not inclusive in the draft that we are going to deal with it just now, and then we move forward to another item. Otherwise, we are going to be here, and then there are so many things that we need. I invited Honorable Member because I felt that we are dealing with the rules that concern his constituency also. Whether he's a member or not a member is another thing. There is a provision in the rules that says if you are not a member, you can come as an observer, participate but not vote. So we can take the member with that agenda. Okay, Meki Kupasela, let's continue the agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Minyan. Are you going to walk very much through the draft? Particularly those areas where they make inputs and their inputs are not reflected.
Thanks, Chief.
Members. Machine. We pack this one, we go to, what page is it? The following page, it says consideration of draft guidelines, then what, then the main menu now, the main menu, we will open up the main menu when we come to item number C. On the agenda, it's 6C. And we follow the agenda so that our records become orderly. Agreed? Please. Honorable Mikalagi, but Honorable Sani would fight with me on this one. We just packing just for a while. We still go to the table.
Chairperson, I'm a very nice person.
Thank you.
So it's not necessarily to say if you park something with Honorable Van Lingen, I would also get upset. But I do want to ask you that we don't park everything, because the parking bay is only so big. But no, I don't have a problem.
Thank you very much. A consideration of the draft guidelines through petitions. Honorable Koshi, you're taking us through.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair. I'm a bit lost. What are we doing with the item of matters arising? What are we agreeing upon? Because there are matters arising. So we need to deal with the item of matters arising. Is advocate to go to Araba Morajo and then redeal a consideration first, and then advocate to Araba Morajo.
I thought we could do it concurrently, but if you prefer that item number 6C be preceded by the
item number 5, we were dealing with consideration of minutes. We dealt with it.
Yes.
Now we are on item number 5, matters arising. There were two proposals from Mihalaika. Now, we have jumped, we didn't conclude on issue of matters arising. There is a 7.1 where Honorable Mihalaika said we must deal with get clarity and then we move. So I'm asking Chair Kore, Rekohela, matters arising as it is, they are through to another item which is the consideration 6.8. That is my humble request.
I had thought the parking issue does not mean will Rekohela. It will favor at the right. Yes.
Welcome. I must apologize in advance. I'm on sick leave and I have to go at 5:00 for further examination by the doctor. So I'm not sure whether the timing will serve the request. Thank you very much. We've adopted the guidelines on the 5th of August 2015 and were then presented to the House for adoption, which it has successfully gone through. The guidelines are not going to forward by way that I want to believe the Chair, you don't have them in your disposal. Just to emphasize areas that are key to us, that we develop these guidelines so we need to look at the following purposes. Give realization to Section 17 and 69D of the Constitution. Establish and lay down general principles of the submission of petitions in the National Council of Provinces. These are just, you know, part of why we establish this. And I'm not even going to go towards the definitions. Definitions, you see them, they are with you. The interpretation, the general principle. Obviously, we seek to respect, protect, and promote the right of petitioners and anyone affected by the petitions. If I say so, Chair, we do know that ordinarily, when people wrote petitions, they are driven by anger. But we try to make sure that when they submit, they present themselves into us, we try to calm them down and make sure that everybody should have confidence in the process of Parliament. Of course, take appropriate steps to encourage and facilitate participation of public in the process of Parliament. But this one is key for us, basically because we are saying, the reason we are saying community revolting against state and state or organ of state to an extent of bailing down their properties basically is because Parliament is not visible. It's not anywhere to help them, to give them
to have confidence into Parliament that if we raise issues in Parliament, definitely executive and related structure will then be held accountable and acted accordingly. The right to petition, of course, is open to every member of the society. The process of petition, of course, all of us are aware that people have to substate and address the dissatisfactory in many ways, either as an individual or, you know, collectively as a community or representative of a particular structure. The scope of petitions is there as outlined, and you will see that when we are indicating who should submit the petition, it's very clear that we include everybody. Also, the format of a petition, how the petition should look like, if it's key, that we are saying, it should be forwarded to us in the language of, you know, as of a particular person, whether he feel like writing it in Xhosa, in Venda, in Shagani, in Setswana, we must accept it. That's the right way to do things. But we wanted also to speak to issues that more often when the petition has expected some kind of relief, that what measures should Parliament do, and I think we need to consider to make sure that any decision of Parliament cannot be, you know, left unattended. If it says a government department or an entity should perform in a particular way, let monitor that there's no jigga in the whole thing. Substantive requirements on petitions, I'm sure you'll see them as it goes, that they are outlined there. The process of submissions, I think it goes much towards the procedure relating to petition. We are therefore should be calling for an office that should be dedicated to deal with the issues of petitions, because in some instances, as we inherited a lot of petitions and we are expected to deal with them, when you try to establish the author, by that time when it has been with the Parliament for more than 5 years, it becomes difficult. There's no address, there's no telephone number, you don't know where to go. But if there is this office that will immediately upon receiving registered and consider doing the necessary take up whether the petition will attend to the requirement, then it will help a lot in our own view. Therefore, the dedicated officer should be prioritized for us to execute that particular part of work. Of course, when we're dealing with the petition, more often you realize that other select committee are getting affected. Therefore, the issue of that particular officer to continue to look at if the decision of the House was to say a particular thing should be done, there should be some element of military and claim oversight over whoever is going to do that. The composition is very clear. The function of the committee, you will see that we have taken it, as I said, many of them, that review every petition fed to it in terms of the constitution. We are saying this basically because when the person wrote petitions to Parliament, more often does not understand what will be the procedures. It becomes the responsibility of that particular officer to advise and say, these are the things that will be followed, because we, as a committee, the secretariat and the support staff, if they are going to switch to that level, then they will be engaging from, you know, the huge of the citizens. Therefore, a dedicated officer is still, you know, invisibly supposed to be there. The petition has been referred to a member of a national or a provincial department. Obviously, we expect some form of, you know, action from, you know, we will be dealing with it. Goes to the powers of the committee. For us to operate better, we drafted the following function, powers that we we should, you know, have when we are dealing with the work, to invite a petitioner and ask for supplementary documents where it requires whether from the executive or that petitioner, we will do that. Require the attendance of person before the committee to produce any form of evidence that would want. Recommend to an appropriate person or body to settle the petition in order to do justice to the petition. If required by the petitioner, resolve and dispute complaints, reverse an action or rectify an omission regarding any matter which is captured in that particular commission. Through a petition file once we have finalized the entire petition. Of course, we are saying the committee may use no referral of some of the petitions that we don't sit with all of them. I'm sure you can see we have tabulated areas that we may refer some of the petitions to be something. And the fitting of the committee, very clear, it will be determined, such as we know that Parliament is always the case, but we can, upon our approval, have the hearing outset, the whole thing. Witnesses that should appear before the committee during the hearing, very clear. Retentions of books, documents, or objections to the committee will always be looked into, and the delegation of power by the committee when that require has been also looked into. Accountability of the committee and then concluded by supplementary guidelines, Chairperson, that we may at any given time when we see that there are areas that we are doing well, propose an amendment moving forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson of the Petitions Committee. That is the presentation. Can we take clarification question? First one I have clarification. Is the committee proposing an officer or an office? That will be the first one. Clarification? Can we have more clarification?
Chairperson, thank you. It's not specifically seeking, but it's just a comment also on what the Honourable Khoji has said. I also serve on that committee of the petitions, and I've experienced exactly what he has said. We've had quite a tough time to make it effective. He has gone actually very far in making this terms petitions committee an effective one, and credit should go to him. However, there are certain things that's still being a problem for the committee, and that is, now see, it's not included in the guidelines that are here. Although this is an excellent document, I also have to say it's well drafted, and we accepted it as our committee. But I do think that this committee should consider including in the rules specifically the petitions office that the Honourable Hoshi is mentioning. A petitions office. Chairperson, if I may, my opinion of such an office, and I have done some of my own research on this as well, is that it should be a dedicated person. It can be someone that works for both houses of Parliament. But that person's role should be, in my opinion, someone who can actually, before the committee receives a petition and before it's referred to us, can vet whether that document is indeed a petition that Parliament can deal with. Because the problem we currently sit with is everything that is captioned petition, whether it is a petition that Parliament can deal with or not, gets referred to the committee by the Office of the Chairperson. Now, the committee doesn't have a choice. We have to deal with it. The consequence of that is that many documents that are named a petition comes to us, but it's not actually a petition. So what Parliament then has to do is it has to go through all the procedures, spend a lot of money, go through the hearing, only to in the end send back to the petitioner that this petition is not something that falls within our jurisdiction. In the first place, it costs Parliament money and time, but also we are sending back members of the public that are disappointed. And it's not Parliament's fault, because it's not part of our jurisdiction. We don't want to send back the public disappointed to say, after this whole hearing, now we have to refer you to the appropriate person, or we can't do anything about this yet. The petitions office should be someone, preferably someone with legal experience, to say, this is a document that you have, it is within our jurisdiction, and therefore it can be sent to the committee. But if it's not, it should be their job to refer the petitioner to someone who has the jurisdiction to help them, so that the public can immediately go and seek help with someone who can help them. And we're not doing the public a favor to say, thank you, we'll take your petition, and in a month's time or a year's time say to them, sorry, but because we don't have a committee, we couldn't tell you that we can't help you. It reflects very badly on Parliament, and it's not the petitions committee's fault. We have an excellent chairperson, and the committee really does everything it can. So my suggestion would be that we this is an excellent drafted document, that we look at including one or two rules. It can be done through the rules to say that there is a petitions office, but also to engage with the chairperson as well, to say that there is a need for such an office. It doesn't have to be one only dedicated to the NCOP, because both houses actually deal with petitions, and then from there on be referred to the houses. But I would very strongly support Khosi Tobajane in saying that this is something that we really need. Just the last thing, Chairperson, the previous Parliament, of the 70 petitions that came to Parliament, they only dealt with one. Uncle Nyambi, I think, was also on that committee the previous term. But it was a problem. This time around, we've actually gone and dealt with a lot more, but we still have a major backlog. And I think if we had petitions office, most of the petitions who come to us is things that we don't have jurisdiction over. So it is going to address the committee's problem with the backlog, and it's also going to make that committee extremely efficient in dealing with problems that we can. So I would, that must be a priority. If not in this committee, then as Chief Whip, I ask you to please take note of that as well.
A point taken. We have said the institution is evolving. We've now reached a stage where this particular function directs us to have an office. I assume there's no disagreement here. Let's hear, Honorable.
Chief. Honorable Chief. Just clarity on substantive requirements on F. Can you just explain F? On F, what? If submitted by a member to the document, page 8. Yeah, yes.
Looks like my pages are not numbered. Alright, Honorable. There are sisters, if it is F.
Yeah, if submitted by a member, should not deal with a matter that is already before the committee. It F.
Because you'd like to, people must contribute from an informed position. We got the documents today in this meeting. Am I correct? Yeah. When did they get the document?
She put the document to the members of the committee were circulated earlier. The only person that will apologize for not taking the agenda was Khosi, because of he came today to present, but members of the committee, all of them, got the document.
Can we then agree? We will note this concern. Every concern gets noted. Yes?
No. This is minor. I'm trying to assist you on this one. It will assist you. Just wait till you reply. It will assist you as a committee. Give him a chance, he'll reply, he knows what.
He reads your mind.
Thank you, Shepherd. I'm sure your question was detailed, responded by Honorable Mahari. The one that Honorable is asking is, we are saying when a member of council has an issue that he wanted to raise, it should not be an issue that is, you know, debated by a committee. But the instance is where I will be sitting in the committee of health, and I couldn't, you know, express myself better, and the decision of the committee taken in a particular way. Then I switched to petition and said, let the petition committee do the very same thing without saying it in the manner I said it in the health. That's why we are saying it should not be an issue that is receiving an attention in any committee, either in the LCOV or in the MA.
No,
it's too small.
Let it be really
small. No, what I wanted to say, if a petition is submitted and I as a member of the committee might benefit from the result of the petition, am I then allowed to sit in that committee because I might benefit financially? If you get into, if I might pay financially, I'm a member of the committee, and that petition, if it works in the favor that I might pay, am I supposed to be sitting in that committee? So that is something that I want you to look at. It will help you. Because there is such a petition, which I submitted. Thank you. It will help you understand my language.
Can we have the idea presented to the meeting, not to Hoshi? Can it be a meeting matter? Are you going to assist Hoshi? You are a member of the committee. Please do.
Chairperson, if I may. I agree with Uncle Geiler, but I would say that it also indicates a bit of a flaw in the general rules, not only petitions, that we as a, or that this committee at least, must have a look at including, because as far as my knowledge goes, I don't think there is such a rule, but that we actually include a general rule, saying that if a member, if there's conflict of interest, then a member must recuse himself. That will, such a rule where we say in general, if a member has conflict of interest, he must recuse himself, that will cover not only the Petitions Committee, but will cover all committees. So I think it is a rule that is still lacking in general in the Council rules. That will cover the problem that Honourable Geiler has mentioned.
I'd love to hear the House Chairperson will follow after me. Thank you.
Honourable Members, in respect of the issue that Honourable Geiler raised, Honourable McKellar, this is correct, but already that is covered in terms of the Code of Ethics for members. In that code, it requires not only this committee, all committees that you participate in. If there's a matter that you've got an interest in, you need to upfront declare, and based on, I think it's worded in such a manner that based on the nature of the extent of the conflict, you may as well have to recuse yourself. But in some instances, you find that the conflict really, that's why you have an obligation to disclose that upfront before the meeting starts. Therefore, that is cut across, and therefore advise that instead of confining it to you because of it's something that you have to comply in all your committee activities at Parliament, and is contained in your Code of Ethics.
Thank you very, very much. Any other Honorable House Chairperson?
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the draft of the guidelines. But to be upfront, to indicate that it will be good for us not to lose sight that the very purpose of having these guidelines is as per the response to the judgment and how
were doing things in the past. And the issue of petitions is not only the issue of guidelines. It's being guided by constitution, as you can see from the guideline, quoting the constitution, what the constitution is saying. But we had some limitations in the house in terms of dealing with petitions. So I said to do that. So if I may, Chair, I go to the second point to make a concrete proposal that, in responding to that. Now we have a pain in terms of guideline. And we don't want to be seen moving forward one thing in terms of how we handle the issue of petitions. So it's work in progress. Let's go and have another file going through the details of looking at it, checking the legal implications of all the points that are in this guideline in relation to our constitutions and, of course, our rules. And it will make us to be in a position to be able, once and for all, in our next meeting, to resolve the issue of guidelines. The last point that I want to make, Honorable Mikalakis, I thought maybe if I was not in this meeting, I was going to keep quiet. But just because it happened, I'm in this meeting, I'm not going to leave it to create a wrong impression. And the fortunate part is that the person who's dealing with petitions currently was sharing petitions in the National Assembly. So he can, free of charge, without, I know, Positovich, I won't charge Mikalakis a single cent. He can provide him with detailed information of what happened in the past. And if you can allow, share, I can share with him 10 things that come into my mind now. He's just singling out the past, because our feet, we ended up breaking a pool. You can't single those people that were in prison for 19 years, yet they were innocent. It was the very same COVID effect. So he just singled out that thing. But you can't talk of people in Bronco Strait and Gauteng in Mpumalanga that were in a cross border, that we went there, both committees, and dealing with that petition. Those farm kids, the Gauteng was saying, you know what, we are from Mpumalanga, there's no way that we are going to pay for you. Gauteng was saying, there's no way that we are going to pay for you. We are coming from Mpumalanga. And South Africa is the United States. On the same spot, we had to call the executive authority of both provinces to come and sort that issue. And it was sorted on the spot. And we went to Kronstadt to have those that were victimized, that were able to write petitions, people that their rights were violated. And we're working with the National Assembly, because in the past there were no guidelines except the rules and the constitution. So for him not to get to be privy to information and come here and make a statement that is factually incorrect, it's very, very dangerous. So I'm so fortunate, because you are devoting me in my presence. That is why I'm clarifying you. But I'm even giving you latitude to have your current chairperson that will assist you with the information, Mikalaki, so that you can distort us all still alive. What will happen if we are no longer part of this planet? It means it's going to be worse. Thank you.
We are informed now. We are better informed now. Now, some people here do have some time constraints. She has got also some health limitations. Can we take this item as work in progress? Can we agree? It's something I feel we may not rush just for the sake of finishing. Let's take it as work in progress. With the limitations we have, your input on the next item, please. Executive undertakings.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm sure this part is new in South Africa. So nobody has ever had this kind of, you know, arrangement. And you, the council, gave us that responsibility to go deeper in making the guidelines as they are. Chair, you understand that the executive undertakings are, we've wanted to limit them to be the ones that executive members are raising them in their house, not anywhere outside. I may not necessarily be certain why not outside, because those that are happening outside are the ones who are causing volatile situation in there, because many of us will go to address community
and tell communities that next week you'll have water, and off I go. So when the community started to chase each other, you are not there, nobody's taking, you know, into account why have you issued such kind of irresponsibility. But we are not affected in this regard, because what we have produced is simply to enable us to start doing our work better. But we would want to strongly recommend that this executive undertaking has been stolen somewhere in the planet. We would want to have an opportunity to go where it has been stolen and then to learn, so that we give the South African what is, you know, doable. We shouldn't, you know, something like we are doing now, because now we are living on Googling, looking at all the things. But this is what we are presenting as a guideline, just to have something to start. Sure, it goes through the interpretations of words. After, of course, you might have seen that definition, you want to deal with them, you look at them, and you do the right thing on your own. So is composition. The function of the committee, of course, there are some limitations, because to date, executive undertakings that are referred to us are to be picked up by the front desk on behalf of the chairperson of the NCOP. We don't do that ourselves. I'm not sure whether that arrangement will remain as it is, but that's what is happening. Force of assurance that we don't have, you know, executive undertakings that are not monitorable. That's why you will see we've attached what we call an extra at the end, which speak to what are the things that we will guide us to be where we are. The procedure and time limit, it cannot be correct that the executive members will do undertakings that it's not even have a date intending to execute that particular responsibility. And then would want from time to time that in terms of H8, that the progress report by the department in terms of what they have said. And I'm sure you will understand that this will need a cooperative, you know, kind of operation with the select committee responsible for particular, you know, commitment done by executive. Extension of time, I've already spoken to. The drop of executive undertakings. How do we envisage saying this thing is not anywhere? That's what we're talking about. Register of executive undertakings. We for purpose of not blowing the parliament staff, we may not be having any worry if the function is also in the office of the petition office. That also can do the two at a go. Powers of the committee can summon and make the executive to appear if they don't get the written response to be definitely what they would want it to be. And I think fine, that's the executive undertakings that we have prepare for being considered by the subcommittee.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Members of the committee, do we have additions? Let's go for additions first. Let's go. Addition, members of the committee.
Chairperson, I'm not a member of that committee, but I just want to clarify. I understand that we are concentrating here on executive undertakings as being made in the House. But sometimes in select committees, ministers are present in select committees. And from time to time, they also do undertakings in that committees. For the purpose of our rules, I understand that actually in that committee, the reporting or the minutes should reflect that. But a full list of executive undertakings to monitor that should be the ideal.
Remember, they said that the committee proposes an office. An office. It means then it's going to be an ongoing operation to serve our society. So wherever these undertakings are delayed, whether in that communique out there, or whether during a presentation by a minister, or whether during the question and answer session in the house, all those through the particular office proposed will find their way, you know, into the structure. We said we are evolving. So we are doing well as a country, I think.
Thanks, sir. Let me comment what they have done given the challenges they mentioned. But the apparent to indicate that there's nothing wrong that is stopping the committee to start having a program that will try to respond to what they are raising, to say, instead of relying on cooling and presenting a very decent, a very nice document. It's good for them because we want to do justice to the process, to identify those, whether it's a country or it's a place that they think is more than relevant, to ask them so that they make us to be in a position to make a meaningful contribution on that particular day when we're doing our last input with the document. So it must not be just a thought. They must have it as part of their program to say we're planning to go to Provenzal if Provenzal is a place where they can get it. Or they must go to Uganda. Uganda is a place where they are doing this thing of executive undertaking. So that we can be in a position as this committee to say, out of what we have learned, an experience of what is working, where can we modify, where can we be clarified, then at the end of the day, we are going to have something that even if it can be taken to court, it will stand the test of time. So that's my submission, Chair, and it's linked to the earlier proposal that, of course, there's something that has been done, but it can go a long way instead of just relying on what was said by Chair. Let them prepare a program, and we always say it, that it must not be an afterthought. If you're going to have the program, now they're presenting that you are frustrating our chairperson. We wanted to go to this place to understand this thing so that when we come here, we are presenting it. And I think that can make us to be able to do it justice. Chair, thank you.
Chair, maybe you are speaking language of the royalty. He was saying we're dealing with something from outer space. So I think they want to go out there. Point made, point noted. Any more contribution questions?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think basically we did not want to sound complaining that for us to do this part, we were supposed to have gone into those areas. But we believe now that you understand that you expect us to manufacture the human being out of, you know, the airspace, we'll have to learn as to how can we do that. Can I ask Chair to be released beyond what I thought?
That's why she's so quiet.
No, she's
a member of the committee. Okay, no. The committee is still represented, Koshi. May good health be with you. Yeah. Thank you very, very much. We are done with the two items. House Chairperson.
The point of order, Chair.
Koshi. If we yes, help yourself. Thank you.
Chair, it's a point of what? I'm checking with you in terms of what are dealing with the rules. Is it allowed that an honorable member who is very problematic in one day can come to a committee now wearing something totally different to what you will be wearing when you go to the house?
Honorable Chairperson.
6-3.
Honorable Chairperson, just on a point of order, let me join the joke. I have on a
previous... Maybe before the joke, it's going to be juicy after what I'm going to say.
Okay.
There's food on the toilet in the bag. Members, please help yourself, but come with the joke.
Honorable, no. It's actually quite a... They say many a few words say just, but I have on a previous occasion given the
House Chairperson a set of rules. But I'm very glad to see, even if it's through you, Chairperson, that he is making an effort to get to know his rules and ask and be helped. You really need that sometimes. He is indeed a work in progress, Chairperson.
Going to be a member of the FGOPUND. Ms. Karunyan, advocate, take us through. Akai Utra Yone, I didn't hear that Honorable Mugwe.
Thanks, Chief Whip. Thanks, Honorable Members. Maybe before I start, I thought that maybe I just need to reflect on the documents that are before you, because that also will assist as we go forward just to comprehend how the documents are structured. I'm not going to deal with the other part to the document specifically that talks to what I'm supposed to talk to, which is a document headlined the summary of decisions of the subcommittee on review of rules, and there's also a document entitled National Council of Province 9 Editions March. What then happened, Honorable Chief Whip, before I deal with the document that you're going to look at? In our last meeting, as members have indicated, they brought in different inputs from their respective political parties. And in that meeting, what happened was that there were certain issues that in principle, I need to qualify that, there was an agreement in principle. There were issues that members said, I think they used the word, they should reflect. We will then look into those issues later on. But over and above that, there was also a request, if I recall, that members will still want to go back to their respective parties to then take them through the process, despite the fact that some of them in principle will agree to, so that when they come back, they will be able as well to pronounce themselves on some of these matters. What then we did was that on this document, those matters that were in principle agreed to, which were our understanding was that it's a matter that now needed either yes or no, we then did a drafting and inserted them here. You will see they will be reflected in blue, underlined. And those are matters, for example, that will come from the different parties that were in principle agreed to. And over and above that, we then realized that for members at least to be able to follow and also to have something that can assist them, we then compile this document, which in effect what it does, it will then highlight those issues that in fact were said to reflect, and those issues that in fact there wasn't an agreement, or some of them you even went as far as the staff should then look into drafting this, will look into that once that, because normally you say that this matter, but then you say we should then draft. So we then did this summary, which is what we are then going to take you through, but then this also, I might at some point make reference to the bigger document that also then will have the whole bit of what the rule is all about, and this will only take a snippet on the issues that in fact they were said to, or we got instruction to look at them and do a proper drafting on them, or you then indicated that they need to be flagged, in which case then you'll see in the document they will highlight it in red flag, but with just a brief statement to assist members to recall what were the issues that at that time they said needed to be flagged. So I thought if we advise that just to assist members to understand the data.
Just to give that background, we still move from the premise that says we're not gunning for quantity, we're gunning for quality. And I would like members here to really relax, and but we don't have, our time is not unlimited. This assignment must be concluded by a certain time. Do we have time, sir? because you are expected a parliament to be in step on updating the rules. The National Assembly, I think, is a bit far advanced than ourselves, but we don't have to rush unnecessarily. Honorable Nicola, let me start with this proposal. Honorable, let me hear the other one, please. Honorable Geller?
No, I'm happy with the explanation of the advocate. But I also think that in submission of rules, when you talk of political parties, at least all political parties should have been given an opportunity to submit. I think you aid all political parties who are in the NCOP should be given the opportunity, whether they're in the committee or not in the committee, you should be given that opportunity. But as you are saying, it's work in progress. So I agree it's work in progress. We will be giving our submission as political parties who didn't give our submission. Thank you.
We're not disagreeing. It's work in progress. Each party represented in the House will have a fair share of contributing. We're not disagreeing. But at the same time, we can't do everything today. We said so at the beginning of the meeting. But for today, let us just give it our best shot. Let's do the best that we can do. Right? Yeah. So, Honorable Bakir, when your time comes, you do what you're supposed to do. When your time comes, can we then proceed? Can Honorable Mukwili, your concerns at the beginning of the meeting are on board now, because you wanted to know whether we're going to respond to those letters that arose out of the meeting, the minutes.
I think, Chair, let's go through the documents as it forms part of the matters arising, and then deliberate on it, and then see how far we go.
Honorable House Chair.
I don't know, the Chair, whether it will be a different proposal. I'm of the view that the document was given to us, so maybe we're going to allow members where there's an issue or there's a clarity to raise it and then we deal with it, instead of taking the entire presentation. So, as members, then we're allowed to go to a paragraph to say, no, this is the point, let's discuss it. And then once we're done, we dispose it.
Perfect. I agree. Ms. Banyan, you are ready. First shot comes from there. No, not necessarily. But it comes from the side. Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chief Whip. On this summary of decision, page 2, rule 13C, 2, participation of political parties and their representatives. A concern was raised with regards to the participation. I don't recall us discussing the participation of political parties, because we took it as we are represented as political parties in a whipper, and we never singled the provincial whip from the party whip. We were always addressing ourselves as multi-party whip. So I don't know, maybe my memory was lapsed a bit in that. So can I allow ask the advocate to take us through and then deal with this matter before we go to another agenda.
Maybe to make it easier. Fortunately, Honorable Mukwele sits in the programming meeting. Yesterday, in the programming meeting, I think this concept was addressed, and I thought we had found one another in that meeting. Don't we? Maybe. Just for the sake of information, let's hear him.
Yes, Chief, like I'm saying, this matter in that meeting was never discussed. Maybe but they have never separated party representatives, provincial whip, and multi-party whip, which was we took it as one thing. So maybe current submissions. But advocate through their documents, they felt that this matter needs to be discussed and be dealt with.
In this instance, advocate Akanovajeleki Silaba, do you sit in the programming committee meeting? You do. Anyway, I was going to say, maybe to evolve properly, maybe we should take it from where we left it in the programming meeting. Anyway, advocate, you're with us.
Thanks, on the just that some events have overtaken your work. Initially, I think, if I were to remind members, the whippery issue, or the whipper, it wasn't in the rules. And it was that necessitated a discussion, but it wasn't in the rules. And the issue was, we need to have that in our rules. But then when we then needed to get it in our rules, the issue then came around the representation, particularly, of course, of those parties who may not necessarily have a whip, and a party rep or a provincial whip. And as such, you'll see also in the second paragraph, we have captured the current practice that is a practice. But I do accept that subsequent to that, it will seem as if currently there is, in principle, how you like that to be dealt with. But for us as technocrats, we would like to bring to members that if a fire that has been operating for some, it's high time that you have it in there. And therefore, you need to take a decision whether that structure you like it to be a whippery as representative of provincial whips, and then you try to look as to how then you bring in those parties that may not necessarily be represented by a whip, or you want them a new structure to. This is what on our side we can advise that you definitely for now need to have it at least in the room because of it wasn't initially in the normal rules.
I think Jareboka advocate because I but the constitution it covers political parties, again, in terms of the representation. So now what we need to do is to structure the fora itself. Constitutionally covers for it, we must have a designated... Okay. In terms of the constitution, it says the leader of the delegate in absence of the premier, it must be a designated person who will be a provincial whip. And then, the organization belongs as the political parties that are represented in that. So I don't think we need to do a repetition because what the provincial, the functions in terms of the constitution, the functions of the provincial whip are limited. And then if we extend to say let's have a provincial whip and then have the multi-party whippery. We will be somehow duplicating the functions. Maybe if we can have the system that we have been operating in as an organization to say let's operate like multi-party weeks where we discuss the functions and then the head of that week or whatever will in the responsibility of the chief whip of the organization.
Honorable member, you disappointed me. I thought you were taking it from where it was yesterday, the evolution process. Okay. We're not disagreeing. We agreed yesterday. I think what we did not conclude on is what we're going to call it, if my memory serves me well. How a provincial whip, party representatives are going to be working together to move NCOP forward. I thought an agreement was arrived at yesterday. But how we call it is something else. Let me recognize this. You will follow Honorable Labuskaghe. Gela will be next. And last word will go to the House Chairperson.
So, it is less than 48 hours, if I'm not mistaken, where we were discussing the matter at the level of the Bukremian Committee. Now, my assumption is that we were sober. It's an assumption, I might not be 100% accurate, but we were sober yesterday at that level. Now, I think the important thing is we should avoid to have structures that will just be structures for the sake of it. That will be my personal view. We put structures that we are sure of their functionality and their efficiency and being effective. Now, having a multi-party, you can call it a multi-party whip, call it. I don't like this issue of forum, but multi-party whip committee. And we shouldn't be more cautious about the provincial whips, because at practical level, the provincial whips continue to work with us as at the level of the multi-party whips. Now, when we refer to the multi-party whips, for me it will automatically be inclusive of the provincial whips, because the practical, at practical level, we have been working with them as provincial whips now, and I see them as we are the whole body. We are a collective body. We are a compact body that is called whip, if I put it that way. That will be my submission on this. So, and because Israel, I also spoke about the loyalty to the decisions that we make. Hence, I started to say it is less than 48 hours when we're discussing the matter. So, I'm comfortable, I will be comfortable if we leave it at that level. Yeah, like we resolved this.
I want us to be systematic in our approach on that issue that was elaborated by Honorable Fakis. Is there a different view that what was agreed yesterday was what should be inserted in these rules? Not unless there is a different view. Honorable Labuskaghe.
Honorable Chair, I must say, we agreed that we continue with multi-party reform on Tuesday. The structure of multi-party was formed. I'm not, and I need to be clear about it. It was never very clear that a conventional
meetings will not digress. And I think this is where this is coming from. We agree that there must be a multi-party forum. Now, my personal point of view, and if I understood it incorrectly, is in these rules, and what we agreed upon is a multi-party forum.
Yes.
That is that.
Yes.
If that is so, we need to the functions of the work. The functions of the provincial work are explained, and functions of those parties that don't have the provincial work and those representatives are in is explained. So I would take out of the provincial work and say the work that is for definition here is consists of the chief work and the multi-party work. Then it would include everyone. And it doesn't leave a loophole, because the moment you put in provincial work as a secret, it is an indication or an implication that those provincial work as a secret mentioned here can function in one other way on a secret level. That's my question.
Honorable is just making an emphasis on what you have said. So it's definitely seconding what you are proposing. Are you getting it, advocate? Honorable Kayla?
No, it's just a clarity second question. Section 13 C subsection 3. You just give us a clarity on it. Thank you.
Section
13
C
subsection 3. Simply the next page.
A good capacity represented the council.
Yes.
That is 7 or more duly appointed permanent delegates and is not represented in the whip party. Advocate, can you do this one?
Manus, I think as I indicated earlier on that following your decision the whip party, this was prepared before that. And what used to happen before was that in order to ensure that particular what you call the whip party or to accommodate those parties that may not necessarily have a whip from a particular province. They were having a standing policy, I should emphasize, wherein it was then agreed by the council that a party that has more than 7 members will then be entitled to a representation. And that has been going on for some time. And this is what, in fact, you need now to decide as to whether, because of now you are talking of bringing this into the rules, whether in order to accommodate those other parties into the structures, will you want to maintain this or not? So we have captured here also to remind of what has been, so that at least as you accommodate to then take that into account as to how then will you want it to.
The visible question of Honorable Gila, if I'm getting well, the parties in the past were parties less than 7 and they were represented. So what was the rationale behind it?
Remember, so just for Gila, I'll then give the practical example so that if I can at least remember. There was the Democratic Alliance in our previous government. They didn't have a provincial group from a province. And in order to ensure that, for example, in our program committee meeting, then there was what was then a policy decision that parties that will have more than 7 members will then have what we then referred to as a party trap. But over and above that, you had parties that were, or their members would be called party, in fact, party with more than 7 and party rep. So then, yes, because of the PA then had more than 7, then they had
wise and honorable, I think, Pan Linge. He started with Honorable Watson, yes. Honorable Watson and the post, then he also moved on in when Honorable Watson left Honorable Pan Linge and then also. Never. And the parties that didn't have more than 7, they only have what you call the party rep. And the implication, therefore, the implication I make to understand that the other one was in fact remunerated for that, for that position, party gave, vis-a-vis those parties that have a party rep. That they could attend also the meetings, but it was that understanding, and that's why I emphasize the point that that was a policy then, and therefore now that you need to incorporate this in the rules, it needs to be clear, because of by indications of this, then it will then do away with that was then a policy.
Okay. No, I recognize you. I want to clarify. You still are not referring my question, because that example of ETA, I don't think it's more than relevant. Let's use one of the Bila as an example. Yeah, because he's not part of the 7 plus.
Okay.
Honorable K.
You further quote the Constitution Section 70, Subsection 2(3), which really does not speak to what you're saying. And also, within the provinces and the National Assembly, all parties are recognized as the Constitution. So I think this should be taken out. Thank you.
I now Honorable Labuskarren and the Honorable Parties.
I would then propose an amendment on this, or a new single seat. We recognize the multi-party commission. That implicates the chief whip, provincial whip, party who doesn't have a provincial whip, but have more than 7 members as a party's whip, and all other parties who have less than 7 people have a representative, have a party representative. Because we cannot, if we think about programming and decisions in the whip committee, exclude any party. If a party has 1 member, it cannot have a meeting with 3 other members, and just, it doesn't work, because then they have to come from 1 meeting to another meeting. It just makes sense for all of us to sit together in 1 meeting taking decisions and not exclude, because according to the Constitution, no party should be excluded and should consult. The argument on whether all these people, everyone should be called a whip then, should be then a provincial whip and or party whips, I think this is what we are saying here, or this is what the argument here is, that not only parties with 7 members and more should have a whip, but all parties should have a whip there. Those who don't have provincial whip, if I understand it correctly.
Before I come to you,
I've been disrupted because we are dealing with the amendments here of the rules, and we found each other in terms of how do we proceed from here. I was going to say, let's put that element that we are discussing as null and void. We remove it under rules. That would be my submission. Because we are saying we are going to accommodate every political party, and we are not differentiating between the provincial whip and the proclaiming whip and party whip, but we're saying we will need a multi-party committee or multi-party forum if we are comfortable with that. So any other issue that will confuse us, let's leave it. It's my submission.
Maybe if I can assist, if I may. My understanding of sorting the issue of provincial whips and multi-party forum
is to direct them on the other points that are below. So if we are agreeing that we have sorted the confusion above, automatically it means we have to rework how we are going to draft what follows. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Yeah, if you are agreeing that instead of using the term that was sorted yesterday, as you said, both of us were sober, and now we're talking about agreeing, then automatically advocate, it means the 13C substitution 3 as raised by Honorable Taylor, it might be reworked in a different way or it might fall off automatically. But using the guide of what we have sorted, of how we're going to structure ourselves when we have our, whether it's Tuesday or whatever, the TP was going to be one meeting instead of the confusion of the other meetings. Honorable Taylor.
I was going to support all of our parties. And the verdict of Section 2C is very clear about it. There's no number, so I'm supporting the party. If we talk of multi-party members in that sense. Thank you.
Any other issue we're done with this one? Okay, that is going to be a multi-party wish. Any other issue out of the draft that you see that we have to look at it? Honorable,
thank you, Honorable House Chairperson. My submission is most probably going to be a bit unorthodox, but I want to ask you to, for a few minutes, entertain this idea. Because it's something that has not yet been done. It's completely out of the scope that the NCOP has, or the custom that the NCOP has been used to. But my suggestion does fall, and I hope I'm right, within the rules of the NCOP. If you look at the constitution where it appoints the rotating deputy chairperson, I want to take you back, sorry, to page 1 with regards to rule 10. The rotating deputy chairperson, you will just see that the constitution makes provision for the appointment of a rotating deputy chairperson. But it does not specify who must be, that it must be a premier or that it must be a highly placed person. It just makes provision in the Constitution for the appointment of a rotating deputy chairperson. Now, the custom in the NCOP has been that it's on a rotating basis, normally the premier of a province, and then every province gets a chance every year. But as you know and as I know, they don't do much, respectfully so, with regards to the NCOP and its functions, okay? It's just a ceremonial position. Now, again, respectfully so, I don't think the functioning of the NCOP is made more effective with the presence of a ceremonial position. We have no need for a ceremonial position. My suggestion would be that we look at the possibility of using the position of rotating deputy chairperson to make provision that the provinces all have an input on a yearly basis, still rotating every year, but that the rotating deputy chairperson is someone selected from a provincial delegation, in other words, a permanent delegate. So you will have your deputy chairperson and your house chairperson, but you will also have a rotating deputy chairperson as a permanent delegate, just like the other presiding officers, but that rotating deputy chairperson will every year come from a different province. It would be fairer, because you would have one year the Eastern Cape deputy chairperson, and he will function exactly like a presiding officer. So if you're not there, or if the deputy chairperson is not there, he can take the seat. The next year, the Eastern, or the Free State, the next year, Gauteng. So that there is representation, not only from a select few provinces as presiding officers, but that you have on a rotating basis from all the provinces and from among your permanent delegates. It would take a lot of strain away also from the presiding officers, because you will have someone extra who will be there as a permanent delegate who can take that. It will enhance the experience from our members, because members will have had the experience of being a presiding officer. Obviously the delegation will elect. It will obviously be from the Eastern Cape, the majority of delegates will select who they will send there. So it's not a question of necessarily having if you want to call it, a back door to the seat for opposition parties, because they will in any case be selected from the majority of the delegation. But if that were the possibility, well, then it would just make it more fairer. But we have to look at these rules in a sense that what's going to happen in the next term and the term after that, we may actually become a lot more centered on what we're supposed to be centered on, and that is to represent our province's issues and our province's interests. And therefore, I think, with the eye on the future, it would be good to have to say that the rotating deputy chairperson must be a permanent delegate from a provincial delegation on a year-to-year basis. I would just like to hear the thoughts of the other members of the committee on that suggestion. I think it makes it a lot more effective if you replace the ceremonial position by that. Thank you.
Let him hand over so that I'm well oriented.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chair. The Honourable McCullough is raising the issue of deputy rotating chairperson, because the constitution is not specifying that that person must be a special delegate. Saying it must be a deputy rotating chairperson. So my submission about this one, because drafters of the constitution, I think the intentions of dealing with it and how it has been done in the past, of course, Honorable Mikaragis is advancing a very interesting point, because it's more about the compliance, they don't come. But as we are members of the National Council of Provinces, we derive our existence and mandate from these provinces. But remember that after they are being sworn in the first sitting, it's them that designate in the first sitting that these are the people that are going to represent us in the National Council of Provinces. So it means this issue, even though it's raising a very interesting point, but there's no way that we can be in a position as an NSOP to deal and conclude it without involving those people that are leading the delegation and those people that have sent us here, because the provinces will have interest. So I will submit that it will be good to have an opportunity that will be taken further and engage the provinces and understand what is the logic of this. Because you might find that they might think that we in a way, because the constitution has got some serious implications, and for it not to be here, it does necessarily mean that you can't interpret it. And it's a thin line for us to make a mistake out of good intentions. So that is why I'm saying, Chairperson, let's agree that it's a very interesting point. Of course, it's not part of what is down here. It's not contesting what is down here. But it's making a point about the challenges that we have, that sometimes we do it for compliance. So I'll submit that in our other interaction, let's engage provinces and see, and maybe beyond even engaging them, have others that will give a detailed legal interpretation of what might be the interpretation of it if we might want to do it beyond the normal norm of what was done in the past.
Thank you, Council Person. I must apologize for multitasking. I'm in and out.
Yes, Chief, I think to agree on specifically one point with the House Chairperson, that we get an opinion in terms of the legality. I also want to quote you, Chief Whip. You said it's this. Yes, it's a very good quotation. You always say it's business unusual. And I don't think that this is an exception. We have until now. We have used this as a ceremonial position. Now, it hasn't served the NCOP at all. That is why we included in these changes that they must preside, or they can preside at least twice a year as a presiding officer. Now, let's be realistic. To have a premier come to the NCOP and preside twice a year, they're not going to take that opportunity because they're busy enough. Chief, I want to read to you, this is the only part in the Constitution that it talks about the Rota and Deputy Chairperson. It says, the other Deputy Chairperson is elected for a term of 1 year and must be succeeded by a delegate from another province, so that every province is represented in turn. So the Constitution specifically doesn't make mention that it must be a Premier also. If we really mean business unusual, my suggestion would be that we seriously look at a legal opinion to see if it's possible to make it a permanent delegate, and if it's possible, then we seriously considering going that route. Regardless of who governs the provinces, every 9 years, the DA is going to have a deputy chairperson. So you understand what I'm saying. It's not a question of advancing opposition parties or disadvantaging the... It's going to happen every 9 years. And the more provinces the opposition wins, the more it's going to happen. So it's not going to have an effect on the representation in council. But it's going to be in the same relationship, but it's going to make it more effective. And that's what we are seeking, if I'm right. Isn't it unusual? So please, let's get a legal opinion. And if they say it's possible, it can be interpreted, that we seriously consider changing it. Thank you.
Honorable Gila, I tend to agree to the deputy chairperson on Winambia, because it's not about who governs, it's about the constitution. And we also represent our provinces here. So let it rather be taken to the provinces who are sent us here. The bottom line is that we are sent by provinces, and we cannot agree on something without consulting provinces. So that is my feeling. We need to consult our provinces. Whoever governs in that province, whether it's Freedom Front, AFF, or UTF, at the end we are representing the provinces.
Chair, I think we mustn't consider issues here. First of all, we are busy with the rules of the NCOP. Except if we design joint rules for the NCOP and provinces doesn't have a say in our rules. So we don't need to consult the province about the house rules. We are a separate house. What the constitution says is that the respecting chair must be elected, it must represent provinces on a yearly basis. So our suggestion is, Honourable Mission Officer's suggestion that proposal that I support is, that can be one of the permanent members from a province, from a delegation, and then we can make the rule and say the province can select the person who should be for that year the chairperson or the deputy representing chairperson. But what we are busy here with is the rule. How we apply that rule is our rule. If we are going to open this up for this one rule, then in the end we're going to land up with everything that's in this constitution that refers to provinces, then we'll have to go back to them. And then we can close shop, because then we will never get to a... Yeah. And as soon as then we are in the provinces to be part of this meeting to be able to compile our rules. Thank you.
Mama, this issue is bigger than rules. Because what's deriving from a constitution is not rules that fit. We must have a rotating deputy chairperson. But we are trying to assist the rules to speak to what is in the constitution. If we can check the history of or what made us to have a deputy rotating chairperson being a premier of a province, was it us who decided that no one wants a premier? Because we have to respond to the question. Is it us that decided that no, we don't have capacity for among our ranks, let's have somebody coming from a province? So this is why we are saying, it will be good to have a detailed legal interpretation, because it will assist us. And if you can because advocate is here, he can expand in terms of the rationale, because it's not us in terms of rules that decided that they have a premier in terms of compliance. It's because when we come here, we're being led by premiers, and then they go back because they're special delegates. And then in terms of the arrangement of the house, then we have the provincial whip. So who is leading the delegation that is in the National Council of Provinces? So that's why I'm saying, let's have the interpretation of it.
Honourable members, I will just want to say that as we read that, we shouldn't read it in isolation as a provision that just be called that one, particularly subsection 2. Because of what then will mean, because of if you start with one in particular, it then tells you that you need to have a chairperson and two. But then the constitution on the second provision says, of those, the chairperson and one of them should be of permanent, specifically it expressly says so. And therefore it goes further to then say, and the other one who must be, and therefore you cannot take that person again from the permanent. That will be your... The only thing, of course, I think, Honorable Michalak, if you are correct, is it a premier or no premier, which I think that really is something. But in as far as the legal interpretation as to whether that person, who then should be drawn from, I would say it's going to be clearly in contravention with two, if again you draw it from permanent, yet the constitution expressly says the chair and one of the deputy permanent, but the other one, even though it's not expressly indicated, the implicating the purposive reading of that is that that person cannot your permanent as well. So this will be, the, of course, we take the point that we made and have to also give a fuller interpretation wherein we then have to look as to, for example, your hypothesis, the interpretation, the legal implication of that, and what actually the constitution about, but more in particular being guided by going back to the records of the drafters as to what in fact were in their mind in terms of the intention. But at the end of the day, the reading and the interpretation of the constitution requires two things. One, you read the constitution in totality. Two, you read purposively instead of just a provision, as it says.
It's work in progress, and we're staying in one big jump today here. We are, that's not our aim. Take us forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I hear the submission, but typically being a lawyer, I do not agree necessarily with that interpretation. What I want to say is, I did read it in conjunction with Section 2. Section 2 says the chairperson and one of the deputy chairpersons are elected from among the permanent delegates for 5 years unless their term as delegates expire earlier. Now, you can say that the reason why one deputy chairperson is mentioned specifically in that is with reference or for purposes of the TERF. It's a chairperson and one deputy chairperson must be for 5 years. Then subsection 3 says the other deputy chairperson is elected for a term of 1 year and must be succeeded by a delegate from another province. Now, at most you can say that a delegate, according to the constitution, and we've seen it with regards to the quorum, that a delegate means either a permanent or a special delegate. It does not make a difference between the two. If the intention was, under subsection 3, that the second deputy chairperson must be from among the special delegates, it would have read, and must be succeeded by a special delegate from another province. But it doesn't say a special delegate. It only says a delegate. So, exactly. So, in terms of my interpretation of the constitution, it simply says that that person must be a delegate, so it can be special or permanent. The Constitution doesn't say anything more about the nature of the delegates. Now, unless there's something that supersedes the rules, it is open to us as a House to then determine what kind of a delegate that must be, what kind of a delegate we want. We can mold that. And my submission in that regard is, if we then mold rules around that provision of the Constitution, as long as it's in line, we must choose the option that will be more effective. Now, I would also like, I agree with Honourable Nyambi, a reason or some background as to why the NCOP came to choose the premiers for that purpose. Because if there's a good reason, I would agree with that. But if it's simply to add a bit of pomp to the NCOP and say we've got someone important as a presiding officer, then it shouldn't be business unusual, Chairperson, because our aim is not to make the House more shiny. Our aim is to make the House more effective. Thank you.
Chair, I don't want to contradict his concluding part because I'm agreeing entirely with it. Well, if you may, Chair, I will have this one point that for the mere fact that I'm heavy, is not even member, for the mere fact that we have called an advocate that is advising. And after, because my initial input was that let them go and look at it and have a stage one. And of course, we're going to have to get the background. But the advocate that is working in the institution advising us maybe Nyambi to put stone in his jacket so that he can carry weight to advance an argument that, you know, now as a lawyer, I've got a different interpretation. Then it's saying we are getting to a dangerous situation. Of course, legal fundis, different interpretation. So that is why to subject this thing to that process will make us to do it justice to it, and we're going to say now we've got a better understanding. But I agree with Honorable Mikalakis that to understand the rationale behind the drafters why we have premiers instead of not any other special delegates or somebody in the House, and once it will get that, then it will make us be able to conclude to answer for all. Thank you, Chair.
I think that's the best way to end this one here, but this is a very interesting profession, I can tell you. They say you put 10 law practitioners in a room and you want an opinion, you will get 10 of them. But be it as it may, you have summarized it well. It is work in progress. It is work in progress. So can we move on?
Ma'am, I think
I'm covered by Honorable Mikalakis.
Okay.
But I wanted to make another moving forward. We are done with this one, or advocate you for saying something.
I was just going to indicate that initially to agree that members will then reflect those rules that they want us then to explain.
Thanks. Chair, I think in like it has always seeking Tanka the point of discussion. Rule number 38. Yes. On this document. Page 4. Going to page 6, it personally affects me, and then in page 7. I can develop the manner in which the rule has been structured. One, we have ways that are used, the protection services and the security services, and then we have the act that has been highlighted, the powers, privileges and amenities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act. When I read the section
4, 1 up to 2, the manner in which they are highlighted in the rule is the contrary. It means everything that has been written in rule number 38 in terms of handling of members of parliament is unconstitutional. So as the EFF, it must be on record that we won't support this. If it comes to a push of us again taking these issues to court, we'll do so, because there's no way in the Act and in the Constitution where it talks about physically removing members of parliament in the chamber, and then there is nowhere in the Constitution and in the Act where it clarifies that a member of parliament pose a threat to an institution. Thank you very much.
At the beginning, this is because of the past we have as this country. I would wish us maybe to discuss without getting into the protest mode. Let us advance solutions. Let us come with suggestions that will really make the NCOP the upper house. Let's get out of the protest mode. We are the builders of our own destiny. That's what we are here for.
One president of a African country that I won't name for obvious reasons once addressed a forum and indicated that if you make rules that even if tomorrow you wake up, you lose power, you are still fine with the rules. So you must not make rules for a particular situation. So, I'm premising my input, Chet indicated that sometimes if you deal with these rules, once you take a position of a party in interpreting them, we started the fifth term inviting eminent professors to come and do their own assessment of us. I remember a lot of members were angry because Professor Guto was upfront what is his views about parliamentarians. And he was part of assisting us to understand our role and went an extra mile to also invite those that assisted us to interpret the Constitution in terms of our role. Then I come to this point. The point that we have as is, I don't think it will make us to have a very fundamental problem, because the point is dealing with the last resort. And my little experience and understanding of what was happening in the past 2 days, Honorable Mukwele next to me will agree that, of course, that is why she started by saying she has been personally affected. But I can attest that at no stage we had to get security to remove. When you tell her that, can you excuse us because you are disordered, she will start by sitting, then take her back and leave. And there's no need to get to the last resort. So the point is trying to say we have got legislation, we have got things that we are dealing with, we are in the house on a particular day. And here is Nyambi. And of course, we have sorted the issue of rotating chairperson. Honorable Mukalaki is presiding, and Honorable Mukalaki is saying, Nyambi, because of your disorderly conduct, we are disturbing the honorable member on the podium. Can you leave us? And Nyambi saying, I'm not going all out, Honorable Mukalaki. So what must happen? It means the house must collapse. So this point is trying to address the situation where a disorderly manner is making it impossible for the house not to continue with its business. So that's my understanding of it. And if a member is requested to leave the house and the member is complying and respecting the presiding office, then we won't get to the last resort.
So that is why I'm saying, let's not look at it as a starting point. Let's look at it as a last resort when somebody who's presiding is being frustrated by a particular situation. That's my input.
Thank you very much. You know, the manner in which my next colleague is alluding to this matter, I'm a bit disappointed, because if I was at Mukweli's place at my house, I will be able to impose whatever disciplinary action that I need to impose to my team. But now we are in an institution where we are guided by a supreme law, that is the Constitution. And no rule or policy can supersede the Constitution. Now, I'm saying there's no way. Firstly, we got two words that are used. It's a parliamentary protection service and security service. And then in terms of the act, this act that governs us, it outline clearly what are the roles and functions of the security services in Parliament. So I'm saying, in terms of our rule here, that allude that if a member is unruly or whatever, the security officers or the security service or the protection service will be used. How balamulao? For the functions that are security key in, let rule every delay. These are two contrary statements. That's why I'm saying again, as the EFF, we have won this at the first leg. If it continues to be like this, I want it to be on record that because this rule was, allow me to speak, let me highlight this, Mama. I'm not fighting with you.
Okay.
This rule, page 4, removal of members. The recent court judgment involving members of EFF versus Speaker of National Assembly necessitated the rules to be developed in order to cater for the removal of members from the House. It means this rule specifically is dealing with specifically members of the EFF. And it is clear that members of the EFF as an organization, the institution to court, we won in terms of the unconstitutional rule that was imposed on us. I'm still saying, Chair, to you that if we continue to implement this as the EFF, we distance ourselves. We are not going to make any submission to this because we are personally affected by this rule. We are not going to make anything because nothing will change this. If it continues to be like this, let it be on record that we are going to take further steps with the institution itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, House Chair.
Hey, Chair, how that situation that will make it possible for us to convince each other so that because the committee is not going to vote about anything, and we are going to discuss. If you can allow me, Chair, because I'm enjoying the input from Honorable Mokwele. The judgment is about our rules that have some limitations when it comes to dealing with members who are making the presiding officer not to proceed with the business of the day. So that is why there was a judgment. And not that what we are trying to do is trying to deal with the EFF. I premise my input by saying, even if the party that I'm representing might lose power in 2019, and I'm here in 2019 as an opposition, and the EFF is in charge, I must still say the rules are correct.
So, Chair, let Prabhu Mukwele assist us through you to explain that if a presiding officer is trying to deal with the business of the day, because the previous rule was drafted with an understanding that honorable members, if they are asked to do something, they are going to behave in an honorable manner. And here is Honorable Nyambi behaving in a manner that is not honorable. How can you deal with that situation? Because we have to get away. When Honorable Mukwele is presiding, and Nyambi is saying, you know, Honorable Mukwele, do what I want you to do, I'm not going out. And we have got legislation that we have to do it. If I can be convinced about a possible way of getting out of that situation, I will support a view that says, let's remove this part. I want to be assisted by an elaboration in terms of a way out of assisting in that typical, impossible situation, because we are talking out of experience. We have now experienced this thing. We have been together for almost 3 years. We know what is the situation.
It's work in progress. It's business as usual. We're giving it as homework. Can we proceed? Can we move on to the next point?
Before we're not concluding on it.
We are not concluding.
I want to put on record that when the EFF takes government, political representative presiding officers will have an independent person who is not biased, who will take a neutral decision on matters that are discussed in-house. Thank you.
You're still on the floor. Take us forward.
I think you have really dealt with that matter.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I thought that might be just to clarify, Rule 38, that reference was just to guide members, not going to form part of the rule, that reference to parties. It's just a court case which we thought to lift it up so that its members reflect, they understand what informs some of these rules. So it's not going to form part of the rule. And I'm not going really to go into detail because we have already discussed how you intend to deal with the matter. What then I can say is that unless if members are any other areas to point us to for further explanation, we'll do so.
Can we go to question B?
Chief Whip, I think in there, this is also informed by our last meeting. In our last meeting, I think there was a view expressed around what happens if the Chief Whip is not available for a particular period of time. And as a result of that, because of in our current rules, it didn't make provision. It did make provision for an act, but without details as to when you start activating this. I think that was the issue. And it was after that discussion that we were then told that you need then to look into it. And there was also this proposal that absence from an office where people have exceeded 3 months that will then activate in the next step for acting. So and how that should be, or who they should actually appoint that person and amongst, or who they will qualify to be appointed as acting. I think those are the issues.
Sometimes we must believe in empirical evidence. We must believe in a practice that seems to take the work forward. 2 years in office, whenever I go away, I would say maybe a week, Nyambi. You take charge here, I'm going to the AP or wherever I go. The delegations that I do make have so far served the purpose. Alright. I didn't get the report you said, don't delegate when you go away. I delegate, but where does the bus stop? The bus still stops with me. That's how delegation are done. You had a hand up, Honorable? it will be you, then you will have Honorable Gayla. Honorable?
Thank you, Chief. To start with, I hope we're not going to have to use this rule very often in the future, because I, for one, tend to miss you when you're not here. But, Chief Whip, I would like to make just one proposal. Don't blush. I want to make one proposal where it says they must appoint a provincial whip or the programming whip. My suggestion would be that any permanent delegate can be appointed, for the simple reason that to appoint for that long period of 3 months a person who's got duties and who has to vote on behalf of his province cannot sit in his province and vote on behalf of his province and be the chief whip. In other words, the effect of that is you appoint that provincial whip as the chief whip, and then the province has to appoint an acting provincial whip as well, because he can't be in both seats at the same time. Exactly. So my opinion on this is that we should just change where it says appoint a provincial whip or programming whip. Just replace provincial whip or programming whip or acting chief whip. Just make that they appoint a permanent delegate as the acting chief whip. And that can be anybody. Yes. Because you don't want a provincial whip to have to vacate his seat to become the acting chief whip and then appoint someone else. Now we've got two acting positions, and we know acting positions causes drama. Acting always causes drama. Thank you, Chief.
Delegate a permanent delegate. Okay? Thank you very much. Now, it is giving me an even a wider scope now. No, thanks very much.
Ruler 116 subsection 2 should be the same as the rule 13C subsection 3. 116 subsection 2 should be the same as rule 13C subsection 3, which we agreed on.
Yes, agreed on.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm having a bit of a challenge in terms of the functions of the provincial whip. In terms of, I don't know which rule that outlines the functions of the chief whip. But in terms of the provincial whip, the functions are a bit not clear, and I think maybe a way of at least in a rule. I know in the constitution it's two sentences, but we can put Nibinyana into it so that they know what are their responsibilities. Sometimes they fail us in terms of negotiating mandates from provinces. They don't communicate properly with delegates, and then you'll be in the house and a provincial whip will vote in favor of something that we didn't even discuss as delegates. So we need to have something to work on.
Thank you, Honorable Chief. I just wanted to actually say that I support Honorable Mukwele. I had a very recent case. Mukwele, sorry. It's all difficult. I had a very recent case where I was actually very upset that a provincial delegation made a decision and then the provincial whip goes and decides to unilaterally change that decision. without a mandate. So I think we must include that somewhere in the rules as well, that a provincial whip acts on the mandate of his delegation. He doesn't have the autonomy to say, well, I'm asking my delegation for opinion, but it's only just rubber stamp. I'm in any case going to do what I want. The provincial whip, his actions need to be informed by a delegation decision and a mandate that they get from the delegation.
It's clarity before we were being clarified, before Advent today. If we are voting, we'll have that mandate being communicated even in writing by a speaker from a province. So I want to understand the situation that will make education to undermine or even not have a discussion with the provincial delegation. So I want to have an example of it better so that I understand the situation, because I'm lost.
The example I referred to, my apologies to my colleague of the EF if she wanted to also say something. But ladies first sometimes, so my apologies. No, the Honourable Chief Whip, the example that I have is for example, it's not in the House now where you have a mandate with regards to legislation or to vote with regards to something that's before the House. But a simple example is now with Provincial Week, where we have to also send our recommendations of where we want to go to the provinces. Now, for example, I didn't want to give so much details, but for example, as regards to the Free State, we were unanimous on where we wanted to go, and then it was unilaterally, it was changed, like this, without even informing the provincial delegation. So there are certain instances where the mandate comes from the provinces. That is informed by the Constitution, we can't change that. But there are cases where it's within the discretion of the provincial delegation to decide on certain matters. And once that delegation has made a decision and given a mandate to the whip is in no position to go and say, I'm going to now change it despite other parties' decisions. So we need to make provision that they do not have that autonomy. But perhaps my colleague will give another example.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Honorable Michalekas. It's very difficult, that thing. But Chair, even in terms of negotiating mandates from the provinces, we are not stooges. I know that in Northwest, we have never ever been taken on board in terms of the mandate. You will be there. The only time when we meet as delegates is when we discuss the programs of provincial week and then all those things in terms of the oversight. But we have never ever been briefed on mandates from the provinces. You know, we need to change the manner in which things are done. You cannot be sitting there as a delegate. Sometimes I want to disrupt to say that is not what we agreed upon. But I didn't want to go to expose the institution to that level to say this is not what I didn't want to do this, to do it just to expose the incompetency of the institution. But now here I think it's a relevant platform where we need to structure that. It must be included in the rules, and then if someone then go beyond that, then we will be able to act on it decisively. Thank you very much.
The input here is the first initial most drafted. So, 13E, the input I'm saying we must elaborate. After elaboration, it is still going to come here. It's still going to come here so that members can certify themselves that the elaboration indeed captured what was expressed here. Okay? Can we pass on that note?
Yeah.
Thank you. You are still with walking us through. Yes.
What applies to the Wipori must also apply to the chairpersons of committees.
These rules apply to everybody.
Yes, the chairperson.
What are you saying? Are you saying we must include the rule here on the chairperson?
Yes,
how chair chairperson? There is a submission that affects your constituency.
That the chairperson cannot overrule a committee. It happens in some committees where the chairpersons overrule the decision of the committee, as what Honorable Mitchell Castle said.
Thank you, Chief. I think there is quite a flaw or a big just gap in the rules. They're not even a loophole. It's a massive gap in the rules where it's extremely unclear about a few things, and that is specifically pertaining to the chairpersons. And Honourable Nyambi, you should find this interesting, I believe, that there's no rules other than the appointment of the chairperson that is made provision for in the rules. Now, under certain circumstances, it becomes necessary to replace the chairperson. There's nothing in the rules that make provision for how you replace the chairperson. There's provision for how to replace the chairperson of the House with regards to a motion of no confidence. There's even with regards to one against you, which hopefully will never be used. But there's nothing of that kind with regards to the chairpersons of the committees. We must be consistent in how we apply the rules. So in other words, where there's provision for replacing a chairperson of the House, the same rules must be developed to replace the chairperson of a committee. Exactly. And the only time when this will be, for you as Chief Whip, this will be of particular interest, the only time that this will be a bit of a problem in the committee itself is if the committee members don't attend. So it will also have the indirect effect, and I hope you will be happy to hear this, that if that danger exists, members will actually start coming to the committees as well. There must be made provision with regards to not only how you appoint a chairperson or even a whip in the committee, but how you replace them if they are sick or for another reason incompetent to fulfill their duty beyond their own control, but also for political reasons. So I think we need to develop a set of rules. It doesn't have to be much different from the rules that you have with regards to the presiding officers in council itself. But just change the word chairperson of council and replace it with chairperson of the committee and just include that, just so we can fill that gap. Thank you. Exactly. Mutatis mutandis, it is the same applicable to your committee. But the problem we have, Chief, is you say it counts without saying. But the other day we had a problem like that in the committee, and the committee was stalled for an hour to get a legal opinion on this matter. Because the legal department, not from here, but from the committees, I don't know exactly from which legal department of parliament, but there was a legal opinion that came in that said, no, these rules only, because they specifically refer to the chairperson of council, it doesn't find application to the chairperson of the committee. So, it might have been chairperson, but the consequence is, and I'm glad I did that because I was responsible for that. I'm glad I did it because I proved there that there's a flaw in the rules and we need to be clear on the procedure followed there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. The other thing that I have noticed in terms of our rules and the culture that the institution has been operating on is that you get into the committee and then you'll be told that Honorable Nyambi is the chairperson of the committee and Honorable Labuskasne is the whip of the committee. And then when you go into the rules, there's no way in the rule that says a committee must have a whip, then we end up the chairperson and the members of the ruling party to say, this is our whip. Let it be clear that the whipery that is in NCOP is the representation of political parties in council and provincial whips chaired by the provincial, by the chief whip of the house. And then this thing of our political arrangements of whips in committees, must, we must deal with it. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you like in our committee we have Dr. Mfundisi as a whip. Him himself cannot whip himself. Like, then you are told when you interact or matter, this is the whip. There's no way in the rule, maybe Hajadi Balapi, but there's no way in the rule that says committees have their food. If we need whips in committees, let's structurize it properly so that it is okay.
No. My understanding is that the very same guide in terms of rules that is making possible to establish a committee and now elect a chairperson is the very same one that we use when the chair is not available. Because we've had that experience being added by the rules. If Nyambi is a chairperson of petitions and on a particular day Nyambi is not there, the very same rule that is there, that is specific, that is guiding us how we've elected Nyambi. We use that rule to have somebody to replace Nyambi because Nyambi is not in. So that is why I don't think we can say we can take that part of the chair of the council and insert it to deal with the part of committees because it's catered in terms of our rules. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chief. I thought might just to refer to members to Rule 91 and Rule 92 on the rule book, the actual rule book. Yes, 91 talks of the chairperson, that would be the election of the chairperson, and then 92, yes. So that will then deal with the situation of how a chairperson gets elected and all those stuff, and 92 then will deal with the situation that Honorable Nyambi was referring to in the absence of any chairperson also. Unless what I get from members is that this rule needs to be expanded further, and it is that that we want to find out the point that members feel that they are there, so that as we leave here, we get your instructions clearly, so that then we can reflect on them. So I just wanted to indicate that because of Socrates, we don't leave the understanding that there isn't anything the rule there is, but might be members might have identified certain gaps in there, so at least we know what areas specifically they would like us then to include.
Yes, but Chief, the other thing that I would request the subcommittee to carefully think about is the composition of the reply. I would request the subcommittee to carefully think about whether the two house chairpersons should also form part of the of the reply. Oh, okay.
I will repeat what I said in February.
Yeah. I think it's in a totally different net. So if maybe you can allow him to assist us, elaborate more, so that we can be able to assist the drafters to come with something to take us forward. Because not only about how he was making a point about the arrangement that we have agreed on.
Yeah. So now,
want to hear more from you.
Thank you. In the normal course of events, the weavering has a particular role to play in the institution. And the presiding officers, because the two house chairpersons are presiding officers, also have a particular role to play in the institutions. So, in my view, to make them also part of the weavering, may well, I did not want to use that phrase, but I would say that it may conflate the roles. Yeah, it may conflate the roles of the house persons and the role of the weeper. Because it's also time someone to say that the chairpersons of committees or even the presiding of the other presiding officers may be members of the weeper.
No, I agree with the advice of the advocate. That's why I said we need in the rules to clarify the functions of the provincial whips, because our initial practice to include the house chairperson was that when we take resolutions that meet their immediate attention, they are there and they understand what we are intending in terms of that resolution. So I don't know, maybe we must also apply our minds properly into that. Thank you. We do have this juncture. I need to be honest. You know, 2 years on now, they say experience is the best teacher. Experience. The whips will sit, deliberate, come up with recommendations which they are going to make to the programming committee meeting. But I feel very uncomfortable when the programming meeting sits, I would say, in the dark, out of no briefing, nothing. How do we bridge the gap? I think we need a mechanism. We need a mechanism to enable the programming meeting to unfold, say, maybe, well, how can I say, in a proper orientation, so to say. This is, I said yesterday in the programming meeting, I said, some of these modulations, these experiments, we were trying this, we were trying that, we were intending to deal with this gap here, which practice shows us that it does not help this institution to move forward. The other issue I mentioned about us meeting same time when the chairpersons are meeting, that one can be dealt with. That one is a programming matter. It's a programming matter. Whips can meet at this part on this day. Chairpersons will meet on another day. But let us help the institution. What then do we do? We do sit with the chairperson and we talk. Chairperson of council. Then chairperson of council will say, you whips are out of order now. You come in so far, you've left us way behind. Now how? I think we need a mechanism which will help yesterday presiding officers to move in step with development in the institution. Advocate, maybe if you can assist there. We don't intentionally mean to conflate, but we want the offices to move in step going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Whip. Chief Whip, there's just one point, and I don't need to take you back, but Mr. Nonyane made reference to Rule 91, and I just want to answer his question, because Rule 91 about the chairpersons, where he said, Rule 91 in the rule book. Rule 91, where he said that sub rule 1 and 2 make provision for the matters that Honourable Nyambi has made reference to, so that's covered. I'm comfortable with that. But then he also asked, we must just indicate what we would like, in which way we would like it to be expanded. The only expansion that I would like to see there that will, in my opinion, completely fill that gap is exactly as I said earlier, how you treat the presiding officers in council is the same way as you must treat them in the committees. So I would say that Rule 14, as it is there, just with picking it so it's applicable to committees, would make actually a very good example of what must still be included under Rule 91. Rule 14 deals with the removal of presiding and other officers from office in the council itself. But it does not, according to the legal advice that we got in the committee, does not deal with committee chairpersons. So if we can have Rule 14 as an example, expanded and made applicable to the committees as well. Chairperson, you're laughing now, but one day you might make use of it when we have chairpersons. So I'm just joking. But Rule 14 is a good example of what we can use. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we just have to be consistent.
Thank you, Chief. And I'm looking at Rule 92.1 in the rule book. Yeah, and maybe it's a little bit pedantic, but that's where a lot of things is happening. If you look at when a chairperson of a committee or subcommittee is absent or unable to perform the functions, absence means that person is not here at all. But if you have to let a committee wait for half an hour or an hour, that creates a gap. So I would like us to include and say, if the chairperson is not present, then we have to put in a certain amount of time. It will allow the committee to elect another chairperson to continue the business of the day.
Exactly understand what informs the suggestion. I'm just wondering, advocate, you'll advise. We sometimes we tend to over-legislate, or I don't know whether it's over-legislate or whether we can say we over-regulate, you know. Certain tendencies can be handled through code of conduct, don't we? Does this institution not have a code of conduct, how we must behave? Don't we have? We have. Okay. Let me hear from the House Chair.
I'm supporting what was said by Honorable Nkalafis, that there's no need to even deal with time, because he's talking about a person being absent. So if you are in a meeting and a person is absent, it's not talking that it's absent for a particular date or whatever. It's saying if a person is absent. So there's no need to over-regulate and try to come with hours or minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very agreeable today, as you can see. That's fine then. Leave that out then, as long as they include a rule such as Rule 14. Some rule that applies to the chairpersons in the House, then it has to be included in this part that applies to the chairpersons of committees. Then it's fine.
Thank you very, very much. I believe.
Honourable members, as draft, we must be very clear what the instruction is. Because the procedure set out in Rule 14, it's even more cumbersome than the procedure of electing a
an acting chairperson of a committee. Is this the proposal of honorable members that if a committee wants to elect another chairperson, there should be a draft resolution that will last for inspection and so on and so on? Is that what is being proposed?
Chairperson, respectfully, Rule 14 is not rocket science. We are in a political environment. We are politicians. There is sometimes the natural forces that must be followed. For example, when a committee chairperson is absent or sick or passes away, it necessitates that he must be replaced for purposes of the committee continuing. But sometimes there are political circumstances that inform that. And therefore we have something such as a motion of no confidence. It applies to the chairperson of the House. It applies to the Honourable Chief Whip. Why should it not apply to the committee chairpersons? Are they above being politically removed? I don't think so. If it applies to our Chief Whip, it should apply to our committee chairpersons as well. So Rule 14 does not deal with a committee agreeing to replace someone. It's a political procedure. The political procedure is not covered in Rule 91. And that is what I would like, is Rule 14, the political procedure, where the chairperson doesn't die, where we just don't like him, and the majority of the committee members just don't like him. Why don't we like him? Because normally he doesn't do his job. And Chief Whip, someone doesn't do his job, we must replace him. That is how we become more efficient. You're going to always need the votes of the majority of the members. But there are certain circumstances where a committee says, this person must be politically removed, and we as politicians must have that freedom. The same mechanism that's in place for the Chief Whip and for the chairperson of the council, that political mechanism must be in place for the committee chairperson. So Rule 14 does not cover natural causes or normal reasons as to the chairperson can't be there because A, B, C, and D. It is a political mechanism that the Rule 91 does not make provision for. So what I'm saying is Rule 14 must just be tweaked a bit to make it applicable not to council, but to the committees. And that will fill the entire gap of the political mechanism that's being there. Thank you.
I would suggest that a particular situation, I had to go to that committee. But I would again say that does not over-regulate. Political behavior. We do have processes how to manage that. I wouldn't like to see the instability that may really lead to either. Maybe the best thing we can do about this one, let's take it as homework. But from my little experience, I've been a committee chairperson where I come from for some years. We need stability in that function. We need stability in that function. If there are issues that are not proceeding well, we do have other mechanisms. Maybe Honorable Mikalakis, we can have it over a cup of coffee. I still owe you a cup of coffee. We could include this one in the next cup of coffee we are going to have, but at the committee level, we need stability. We do.
Chief, I agree completely with you. We do need stability, and it is in the best interest of all of us to have stability.
I know what you're bothered about. Inefficiency and behaviors, inability or whatever, is a special situation and a special tendency which I don't think we must write a rule about.
Chief, respectfully, yes. It is perhaps about inefficiency, but not only that. In practical experience, we have referred you to the practical experience that we had. You were informed about that committee. In practical experience in the committees, we experienced legal uncertainty as to what the rules provide for. And we need, I agree with you, we can't over-regulate. But where legal uncertainty exists, we need to make sure that there exists certainty. Because that legal uncertainty makes the same argument as yours, it's also instability. So we need to have that procedure. All I'm asking is a small rule, that the same rules apply not only to the House chairpersons, but to the committee chairpersons as well. It makes it more consistent, and it gives us legal certainty. Thank you.
The advocates are listening. From my small head here, it feels like now I've had enough for today on this one. Maybe we should take it as homework. Honorable Mugabe.
But I'm coming up with another suggestion, Chair. A different one.
We agree. This one of this we take as homework. Sometimes I hear what he's saying, but sometimes my fear of instability in that level of operations of the institution says to me we mustn't rush it. Can we pass?
Can I make it a bit easier for you? I'm even willing to take it upon myself. Not to give the advocates that extra burden, but I'm even willing to take it upon myself to come up with a draft and come and present it to this committee. So my idea can be very clear to you.
Volunteer, then we appreciate. Honourable Skafni.
Chair, I support that and the proposal. I just want to amend the proposal, and I would like to say that nowhere in these rules is the functions of the chairpersons spelled out. In the new ones of the committees. In the new rules they are spelling out the commercial whips and the chief whip and the everyone. But the bulk of the work of the NCOP is being done in the select committees. If we don't spell out and give a firm standing of what must be done and what must not be done, maybe we won't have a lot of these issues in programming meetings and all these things, because there have to be guidelines. The rules are not there for any other reason than to keep a guideline in what you have to do. So my proposal is, if Honourable Mifalakis don't want to do that, that we also include spelling out the function of the committee chair. And if he's willing to include that with the other rules, that would be nice, but if he's not willing to do so, I would like us to look at the functions and spell that out. So thank you.
Point made, Honourable. I'm trying to see what page.
Honourable Member, the same rule 91, subsection 2, is in the chairperson of the committee. In fact, this is a rule that deals with all the committee, either select subcommittee or whatever structure, is a general rule relating to that. And it deals with rule 9.1, subsection 2, starting with 8. Presided meetings of committees may act in a manner on behalf of or on the best interest of the committee. It goes on and on and on and on. What then we will say might be to members is, if there are any other thing that you feel that might be is not covered there, members can propose and we may as well have to act and elaborate if members feel that there are certain issues that aren't properly addressed on the
room. And is made, Willie? On a closing remark, can we deal with composition of rule number 116 in the main rule, page 37. For me, Chair, the manner in which the composition of the committee is done, it's the system of government, it won't have that personally a full representation of the council itself, because you find the chairperson of council
obviously the chairperson of council comes from the majority party. You find the deputy chairperson, you find the house chairperson in both responsibilities, and programming group, and then two permanent delegates from each province delegation, one of whom must be a provincial whip. So you will find all one political party with representation made of one, if Western Cape will still be in the hands of the opposition. And then the role of the political parties in the making a development of rules will just be there for advisory. We can't even have the responsibility of voting or doing anything. And when you read the functions thereof of the committee itself, it will tell you that it will always be biased somehow. So I'm suggesting that let's go through it and then find a way of maybe looking into the legislation and then see how best can we incorporate everybody into the composition of the Rules Committee. Thank you very much.
Noted, Honorable House Chairperson.
Chairperson.
Yes.
When we started, you were very clear that you are interested much in equality.
Yes.
As a member who's coming from the province where when the sun rises, we work very hard. So I can tell you now, Chair, once we start to confuse what is in the rules, what is not on the rules, it's a clear indication that tiredness is taking its toll on us. There's a long day and we're dealing with rules. So let me make a concrete proposal that let's agree that today we've done enough. And we are still going to go through in our spare time, and when we meet again, definitely we are going to see that indeed we are all of us interested in making sure that we are taking the National Council of Provinces forward. Thanks, Chair.
House Chair, before he comes, I know he's going to ask this. Advocate Sinela, since I came here May 2014, I have been asking for a clock on that wall. Yes. All the committee rooms, because then it's like I'm shooting in the dark. I'm oblivious what time it is until level of concentration goes down, down, down. So I know it's belt tightening. 119, we have a 119 website. Please also a clock there, for I'm not the only one that decides and misses the clock there. We have it in the chamber and that's fine. Let's have one in the committee rooms. He felt you'll follow. Yeah.
Maybe you're asking an advocate. It's just a pity that you're not asking what I proposed to you and the chairperson. No, not that. About our members sometimes being absent in the assembly. Going to drink coffee at that site, that you must have a coffee machine a year at SOP. If you remember that, I told you that's where the problem is. So, in the same breath, please ask the advocate for that, because it will help you in the house, to keep your members in the house. But, what I was going to say, I support Anthony Gwen. I just want to support what she is, just with her proposal. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Chief of the
Council. Chief, I'm going to most probably be in a minority on this, but what's new? My suggestion would be, I understand Honourable Nambi's point that we are a bit tired. However, we have been, well, we, our predecessors also, since March 2008, has been sitting with these rules. It hasn't been finalized. We are light years behind the National Assembly with regards to these rules. I would, as an alternative, I understand that we are tired, but we also don't have much time. I would, as an alternative, suggest a short break, perhaps, just to stretch our legs. It's only 4 o'clock now. That we perhaps take a break, refresh, and come back and do a bit more work. Because we need to finalize these rules. The National Assembly is light years ahead of us, and we do not get an opportunity often enough. And, Chief Whip, just the last thing. It saddens me because, in the end, they're going to come knocking at your door to ask why the rules haven't been done yet. Not on Honorable Nyambi's door, not on mine. And we need to take that into account as well.
It's not knocking on the door. It's shambles on my bed. No. Honorable
House. No, I must have started by being on a lighter note, but I really meant it. You know, Jefferson, sitting here and listening to people that when I started, they were assisting, making a very good contribution. Once you start to say we don't have even roles of chairperson to serve it, it's a clear indication that the very same person who say it's ready to continue. Or else, let's allow members to familiarize themselves with the rules, because most of the things that we're saying are part of the rules. And now, with utmost respect, Honorable Mikalakis, when we are now presenting the issue of roles and functions of chairpersons, is it that I started to realize that, no, I can't sit here and be tortured like that. No, I can't.
Chief, on a point of order, I made the suggestion about the fact that the committee chairperson doesn't have a mechanism of a motion without notice, removal, a motion of no confidence. I did not suggest the roles of committee chairpersons or any chairperson for that matter. That was not my proposal. You might have been mistaking me for someone else, but that's not my fault. Chairperson, I suggest you continue.
No, no, no. By virtue of the powers vested in me. By virtue of the powers vested in me, I'm going to make a ruling now. No. I said we need quality work. We don't need quantity. But I would like us to agree as to how we are going to play catch up, because we must finish this exercise. My information is we're meeting again on the 23rd. Who's, I got a foot soldier here who, on the 22nd, what day of the week is that one? Because I would want a full day engagement, morning, lunch break, then afternoon. What day is it? And what other business do we have in the house? I'm trying to go to my calendar here. 23rd is a Friday.
Let me assist you, Chair. We can have a meeting on a Friday. Some of us are staying very far from our families. We suggested in a program meeting yesterday that we request the time of plenary on the 22nd to be moved to 10 o'clock. And then if we allow that to be moved at 10 o'clock, then we'll have time after plenary, and then we sit and we do justice. And then Friday, guys, let's go home and see our families. And Chair, we appeal to the members of this committee from the ruling party. At least on that day, they must make themselves available. They must not go earlier. They must be able to work, yes. Because always
members of the ruling party are the ones that want to go in.
Chief, 5 days are working days at Parliament. No, you get paid taxpayers' money to work on a Friday at Parliament.
Chairperson, let us not deviate because of one person. Some of us, we are going for work and family goes together. We are appealing to the House and the majority agrees that we will avail ourselves for Thursday up until late. That's why we have, the meeting of today was supposed to be tomorrow. And then it moved from tomorrow to today. We can do the same thing. And then say, let's meet on Thursday immediately after plenary and we'll be able to work up until late. Then Friday, we go home. We are responsible parents, guys.
I think it's a good compromise. Work until late on the 22nd. Agree?
Don't I propose any second? Where do I get it? She's not second.
Let's start with the constituency period. Why can't we work on Friday? Why can't we work on Friday? It's not that the Irish members have to be back here on Monday. When we leave on Friday, we leave for 2 weeks.
But I'm behind the house. We are assisting.
Let's agree that immediately after plenary, we are going to work till late. Then should it happen that there is a need for Friday, then we are going to consider that on Friday. But we are not going to conclude now saying we are not making our meeting on Friday. But let's meet on Thursday and see how far we can go. And hopefully on Thursday, Honorable McCarthy's may have drafted the task that volunteered that he's going to do for us. And it makes it simple for us.
Thank you for your quality input, your teamwork. We are indeed a multi-party democracy. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.